Attention! Spoilers are beginning now.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and I have your other hostess with me today, Hanako.
Hello, people.
And today we are discussing Sleepy Hollow.
Yay, it's back.
It is back. And so when the fall shows comes on, and I Hanako is mad because I refuse to watch Vampire Diaries or the originals anymore because I just can't handle it. But Sleepy Hollow I stuck with.
That's okay. Sleepy Hollow is like, it's become one of my like go-to shows now. So it's right up there with like Supernatural and The Walking Dead. Like I have to watch it.
Oh,
so.
Walking Dead. You know what? We should probably talk about Walking Dead.
Mm. Oh.
People are going to be upset. We'll see. We'll see at the end of Sleepy Hollow.
Yes.
We're not going to make it a problem.
Let's talk about Sleepy Hollow.
So last time, Sleepy Hollow, Fox, this time last year, the premiere just happened, what, a couple of weeks ago?
Last week.
I feel like I've seen three episodes, but it's just been two, right?
Actually, it's only been the one. No, you're right. It's been two.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Okay. So... we do have to congratulate Fox on not canceling it because they will cancel a show in a hot minute.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know what suit made this decision to move Sleepy Hollow to Thursdays at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I have issues with that because that is such a huge time slot on Thursday nights. I mean, just, one, it's Scandal. You're going up against Scandal, and then The Blacklist is also on at that time, and The Blacklist is also another wildly popular show. And then, of course, you know, on the sci-fi side, The Originals now comes on at 9. They moved Vampire Diaries and The Originals both to Thursday nights, and they follow each other back to back. So... it's kind of like Thursday at 9 in my house is a struggle because I'm a huge Scandal fan. I love Scandal, but at the same time, I love Sleepy Hollow enough that I will put Scandal on the DVR because Scandal is, it's so popular. It has like, there's no chance in hell right now that Scandal's ever going to get canceled. Whereas a smaller show like Sleepy Hollow coming from a different time slot, you know, we have a pretty solid fan base, but still, I don't think that was a great move. So I will actually watch Sleepy Hollow live on Thursdays because I don't want the numbers to go down for that show.
And you think you can hold all the numbers, Hanako?
Girl, I can hold all the numbers. No, let me quit. But no, seriously, I just, and I've heard this being said with other people, that, you know, they'll watch Sleepy Hollow live because they want the numbers to kind of stay up there. You know, there was talk that the season premiere did have, I guess not necessarily low numbers, but it was lower than it has been in the last couple of years. So,
no.
You know, but yeah, I want that show to stay on the air. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with it. I'm a little bit sad about some of the cast changes, but
yeah,
I'm kind of hoping for the best. I just, you know, I love the show. I love the show. And of course, you know, I got a chance to meet Ichabod and Abby at DragonCon.
You did! You got to send me that picture because we're going to put it on the front page with this episode.
Ma'am. But yeah, I mean, and it was so brief. That weekend was so weird because three of them were there this year. It was Tom Meissen, who plays Ichabod, and Nicole Beharie, who plays Abby, and then John Noble, who plays Jeremy / Henry Parrish.
Oh, who is also Walter and French.
Yes. So they were all there, and Friday, I dressed up. I had my t-shirt on, and I was ready for my photo ops. And two of the three of them didn't make it in until late Friday because they were filming.
Mm.
So that was kind of disappointing. Saturday, I went for my photo op, and I was actually a lot busier at DragonCon this year than I have been in quite a while. So I was all over the place going to panels and doing a lot of people watching and costume picture taking. So I missed the panels on Saturday. And then by the time I got to the panels on Sunday, it was only John started out the panel because Tom Meissen got stuck, I guess, in all the foot traffic. So he was like 20-25 minutes late to the panel, and Nicole was actually already gone. So I was a little bit disappointed I didn't get to see her on a panel, but it was still just the meeting them for the photo op. They were so nice. Tom is so tall and Nicole is so petite and tiny, but they are both gorgeous in person and just very sweet. So, it was a good experience, and it just made me a little bit more excited. You know, of course, I was already excited that Sleepy Hollow was coming back, but I'm like, yeah, I got to meet them now, so it's awesome. And then they're filming here now, so they're in Atlanta filming.
That's weird. That's good.
So, yeah, I've got to figure out where they are so I can go.
Oh, no, so Shonico, don't go to jail.
No, I'm not going to be, like, stalkerish, but I really would like to just go to the set. You know, a lot of locals.
Get invited to the set.
I'm saying because they do tours here with like Vampire Diaries, because the Vampire Diaries also films locally and stuff like that, so they have different tours where you can go visit some of the locations on the set. So I'm hoping at some point they'll do something like that with Sleepy Hollow. Okay. It'd be really cool to be able to say, hey, look, I'm standing in the archives, which is
oh my god,
yeah, so.
That's funny. Okay, so let's see what we're doing this season, of course. What's our guy name that we love so much that he's dead now or gone?
Captain Irving.
Yeah.
Orlando Jones. I was so disappointed.
So what are they doing? So they're done, right, with him? They're just not gonna.
I don't even know what happened. I just happened to hear it in May that he wasn't coming back, and nobody ever said why he wasn't coming back or what happened. I don't know what happened. I just know I looked at the internet one day, he was gone, and I cried sad tears because he's like one of the, okay, we had conversations about this last year on the podcast that his character was sorely, sorely underused. Mm. And it's like towards the end of the season, towards the second half of the season, his character started to gain a little bit more. He was evil for a little bit, which was really fun to watch because Orlando Jones as an evil person is just awesome.
Orlando Jones as a serious person is a little weird, yes, as well. So,
he was just, I love watching him on this show. And then of course, everybody knows that he's a huge fangirl or fanboy, however you want to call it. And he was very, very vocal about his love and appreciation for the show and for the fans. So to see him gone, it kind of makes my heart sad. But
it does, because I just feel like I think that he was an accidental hit on the show. I didn't think they thought that he'd be so popular with the fans. And I think, like Supernatural, they have misused and kind of tossed out a lot of good characters. And I think they're making a few mistakes on that end. Because, I guess, there's a budget, but come on, guys. I mean, the not having, killing, what's his face in the first episode?
Corbin.
It was just... He's such a good character. And I don't know what they were doing. But, it's not terrible. But, Orlando Jones will be missed because he's pretty awesome. I feel like I don't see any way for his character to return in any kind of official capacity or any type of other type of capacity, because what will they need him for?
I don't think I would want to see him come back in an official capacity, because him as Captain Irving, as the person who had to be in charge and had to be accountable, I think the character kind of had his hands tied for a little bit. But once he started exploring the whole supernatural world and kind of, doing things on the down low with Abby and Crane, figuring things out. And then once his storyline kind of burst open and he was on the run, and then he was evil because he was, you know, his soul was gone and stuff. It just kind of opened things up for that character. So I wouldn't want him to come back in a official capacity as like police, but I would love to see him come back on the show. And the good thing is, they didn't kill his character off. They didn't make it impossible for him to come back. I think the explanation that Jenny gave was that I guess he kind of made a self-imposed witness protection program. He grabbed his family in the middle of the night and he dipped. He was like, yo, I got to keep my family safe. I got to get out of here. So there's always the possibility to come back. Orlando, please, please, please come back.
I don't even think it's up to him. If it was up to him, he'd be the star. But I think, I don't know, the powers that be don't really know what to do with him, which is sad. And then they tortured us with our other captain. What's her name?
Reyes. Yeah, Reyes. I see.
So what's, because they said something, did she die or what? How did that work? Oh, she's just in Sleepy Hollow now.
She's in Sleepy Hollow because, yes, Abby has moved on to bigger and greener pastures. She's with the FBI now. So yes, we don't have to see Reyes, which doesn't bother me because I didn't care for her character to begin with.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. Abby is now, she went to Quantico and did her FBI training and now she's an agent.
Yes. Well, the first thing is it's been 9 months since the season 2 finale where Katrina and Henry died. It's been 9 months.
We could have had a baby in that time, Quantico.
Oh gosh, let's not go there. But if we want to talk baby news, we'll go to Supernatural. But anyway.
No, we can't talk about that right now because I haven't said that.
Oh, okay. So anyway. But yeah, so now.
Who has a baby? Oh my God. Now I'm crazy. Like, what?
Okay, rewind. Okay. So 9 months has passed. Crane, of course, he went home for a while to kind of get his thoughts together because, you know, as evil as they turned out to be in the end, we have to remember that Katrina and Henry were still his wife and son. So he had to leave, take a sabbatical, kind of wrap his head around it. And I guess apparently at that time he stopped communicating with Abby. And so Abby just kind of was like, okay, well, I'm reaching out. You're not reaching back. Okay, let me move on and do what I need to do. So by the time Crane comes back, Abby is now FBI. She's got a new place. She's got a new house and she's doing pretty well. And she's pretty much put all of that behind.
So you could go through FBI training in 9 months and be an agent and all that?
Hey, I don't write for TV. I'm just going by what I see. I don't know.
I feel like
Abby's a badass, so it's possible.
I mean, she is. I just needed to know the timeline on that. Maybe we'll Google it. I probably won't, though.
She's stopped the end of the world. She has defeated demons. They don't know any of that.
They don't know any of that.
I don't know. So, but hey, that's where she is now, and you know, it's kind of like everybody was scattered for a minute and now they're back. The band is getting back together, kind of, sort of. But I kind of like it. I like it that for right now we're just focusing on, you know, Abby and Crane. It's kind of like getting to know them all over again because they're getting to know each other all over again.
And they both cut their hair.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that yet. I mean, I think I like the looks on both of them, but as far as Abby goes, she's looking too much like Megan Good's character on Minority Report. Like their hairstyles are similar now, and I'm not too crazy about it. I mean, I like the look on her. It's cute, but I don't know. You got two characters that are similar, two black women, two cops. Same kind of sort of look, and then they're on these, you know, they're on the same network. I don't know, it's too many similarities, but you know, whatever. I like Abby the way it goes. She could probably shave her head bald and I'd be like, okay, she looks good. So. I mean, let's just be honest. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. The first episode, it's like they came in slow, but at the same time they had to deal with this really weird creature who was basically going around killing folks. Just very violent. And it's just they had a break, but for us there wasn't a break. There wasn't much of a break. You know, we had a lot going on in the last episode of the previous season, and then they come in, we kind of get 20 minutes of them kind of going back and forth trying to figure out who they are, but in the midst of this they've got this big case that they've got to solve, and it just kind of puts them right back to where they were. And then we get Jenny, which is cool, and so it's been kind of cool. It's a slow build up to getting the crew
getting the band back together,
right? And we saw Corbin's son in the last episode, and he's trying to get on and trying to figure out what's going on. Haven't seen Holly yet?
No, I was going to ask, is he going to replace Holly, or how does that work?
Because I don't know. But you know, Holly is one of those characters. He's not a settled down kind of character. He's kind of one of those characters that is known for being all over the place. So, and I think that, you know, the background of Jenny's character, she was also kind of all over the place. But I think now that she and Abby have kind of repaired their relationship, she has more of a reason to stay in town and help them tackle things in Sleepy Hollow, especially now that Abby knows what's going on and she has that support.
That's true. So I had to Google it because I had to know. FBI training is 20 weeks long.
Oh.
Okay.
That's not bad. 5 months. Okay.
Yeah, so I guess she could have done it.
She could have. She's a badass. She can do it.
But so the first monster was the one with the fear, was it?
Yes. Was it? Okay, now I have to go back and think.
Ooh, two episodes and we already don't know what's what.
No, the fear episode was the second one. What was the first episode? The first episode was the you might be right. Let me see. Yes, the first episode was the fear episode. The second episode was about the secrets.
Right.
Okay, we got it straight now.
Right, so it was about like if you keep a secret, then that's gonna kill you somehow. And so the big bad this season is Pandora, right?
Yes.
And we saw her last in Wayward Pines on Fox, and she's also from, oh dear, what's the film with that one guy? Oh God, what's the Renaissance film with that one guy who was the Joker? Who was this Joker? What was his name? The Joker in Batman that died.
Heath Ledger. Oh,
Heath Ledger. She was in the...
Hold on. Let me look it up.
I'm Googling because somebody's screaming it right now. They love Cat. How could A Knight's Tale? Jeez. Yes. She was in A Knight's Tale. And so she was also in Wayward Pines, and now she actually has her name in the credits of Sleepy Hollow.
Which means she's going to be around for a minute, so, yep. But, I mean, I like her. She's different, and she's got a lot going on. It's like it's not just one thing with her. We still don't know exactly what her purpose in Sleepy Hollow is. We just know that she wreaks havoc. Her first thing that she does on screen is she takes the headless horseman and she traps him in a box. And you know, when I heard over the summer that there was not going to be that the headless horseman would not be in this season.
Oh, you heard that really, already.
I was really confused. I was like, so you got rid of Katrina, you got rid of Henry, Irving is gone. now you guys are taking the Headless Horseman. This is Sleepy Hollow, right? Like, what the hell are we going to do? So I was like, okay, let me just wait and see what they're doing. And first thing out the gate, he gets captured and put in Pandora's box. I'm intrigued. I want to know what's going on.
Man, it sounds like some budgeting. It's just like, I hate when I feel the budget, you know?
I do too, but
I feel the budget. I don't feel right, and I feel budget.
I can feel that, but at the same time, I feel I'm intrigued. I'm interested by the story. I want to know what it is about Abraham or the horseman that's so important that Pandora wants him. That's, you know, it's like Pandora doesn't have just like little bitty stuff. She doesn't have the common code in that box. She's got like... She's got like Twilight Spanish flu in there, the one that kills everybody. So, you know, I'm curious.
Well, so far, she's just been watering an evil tree, mumbling to herself. Really? Because it's a tree.
That tree scares me. Did you see how big that tree grew when she watered it last week with the last little bit of with that?
Well, maybe it's a fast growing tree that happens to be you afraid of black trees. That's what it is.
I'm afraid of evil trees, and that tree looks evil, and it's being fed by evil, and I'm scared of it. I don't want to go anywhere.
How do you know she's evil? She could be the good guy. Ichabod and Abby could be the bad guy. See, they said something about that this season. She could be saving humanity.
Are we watching the same show? How many people has she killed so far? She's killed people with their fear.
Well, I think the worst thing she's done this season was create a fake cafe. That's evil. Because, like, somebody might need coffee. And they's like, man, I'm going to that cafe. Oh, where did it go? Boom. Productivity is down in the office.
I don't know. I think having your throat ripped out and...
Okay. So having your throat ripped out, that's number one. Number two is the missing cafe. Okay. In that order.
We can go with that. Okay. We can go with that. So... But, here's the other thing that I want to talk about. So it's so funny because all throughout the first two seasons, we've heard Abby, you know, teasing Ichabod a little bit about his marriage and about Katrina and, you know, being cutesy. And then, of course, you know, once she found out about him and Betsy Ross, she's been kind of, you know, teasing him a little bit about that. And then, boom, here we go. Ooh, Abby has somebody from her
tall past come drink in. Of water.
And she's getting saucy. She looks at him and she's like, mind your business. I said, oh, we feeling some kind of way. But this is going to be interesting. Because that first exchange with I can't think of the character's name right now, at Ichabod. Where Ichabod
man,
was kind of,
man flesh.
It was like, yes, it was like...
He was...
I don't know, swords were drawn. It was like, it's so funny. And...
adorable.
He was, but the funny thing is, it's like I ship them, but at the same time I don't ship them. It's like I would love Abby and Ichabod as a couple, but at the same time I like the fact that they're not a couple, that they have this genuine friendship and respect for each other and love for each
Mulder
other.
Mulder and Scully all over again in a different way.
Yeah.
But that's what I love about them. Yeah.
I like that. And, you know, that was one of the things in the panel that I went to at Dragon Con. That was one of the things that was touched upon a lot with the fans asking questions and then with him talking about it. And I actually did get a chance to ask him a question. And what I asked him was, you know, he and Nicole, if you ever watch any of their interviews, it's obvious that they have really great chemistry. Like, they bounce off each other so naturally and they're so silly with each other, you would think that they have known each other forever. And I asked him if that was something that came naturally, like, was it instant or was that something that they had to work at? And he said, no, that was actually something. He was like, literally, when we went and did the audition, I had to audition with her. And it was a chemistry screen test. And it was just very apparent. He was like, you know, 20 minutes in, we're finishing each other's sentences. And we're kind of talking to each other about how we would play the role. And it's so funny because last week I bought the season one DVD, and the season one DVD has all the extras, and it actually includes their screen test.
Oh.
And it's funny because to hear him talk about how it was and then to turn around and see it, it's like so obvious that chemistry is there. So the fact that it's there off screen, it makes it even more prominent for me now on screen. And I just love seeing it because you can kind of see, you know, when the guy walked in and it was kind of obvious that he and Abby knew each other, you could kind of see the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And it was the cutest and funniest thing to watch. Yeah. So that's going to be an interesting aspect of the season because we don't have, we don't have Andy who had an unrequited crush on her. We don't have Morales anymore, you know, the relationship that failed. So it's kind of like now we get to see something a little different and I like it. And the other thing I like about it is we've seen three different people who Abby has had some kind of romantic ties to, whether it's unrequited or not, and they're all very different. And I like that. It's like they're not all one race. They're not all one type of person, except for the fact that they're all police officers. But they had three very distinct personalities. So that kind of, for me, it kind of shows that Abby is very much a well-rounded character.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like that, too, because now you see it with Ichabod, too. You know, Katrina was the typical wife. She was kind of quiet, you know, except for the fact that she was a witch, but she also kind of downplayed that until it became, you know, needed and obvious. And then now we're kind of getting bits and pieces of his relationship or his friendship with Betsy Ross, and she's quite saucy. You know, she's very sassy, and I love it. I love seeing Nikki Reed in that role because, you know, she is actually a great actress, but the generation now, they only know her for her Twilight role, which, of course, you know, she did what she could with the role. She was cool with it, but I don't think it showcased her talents. And I like seeing this side of her because she can be silly and she can be flirtatious and she can be, you know, serious. And I like it.
And she can make Betsy Ross an action hero, not just a lady who sewed the flag.
Right,
that is so crazy.
It's so awesome. So I'm excited. I like what they're doing so far. And we're only two episodes in. So it's like now I kind of, you know, last season kind of felt it was very heavy, but it was also kind of dragging because we had this big tension with Henry and Ichabod and Katrina. And then, you know, I don't know if they made her evil because of the fan backlash, because so many fans were tired of her. I don't know what the deal was, but it's like now we don't have to deal with that and we get to see things fresh and new again. And that's what they're doing. It's like they're recreating the show and I love it.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm excited.
Hate it. Yeah, I really do miss Orlando Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I could take or leave Henry. I liked him as a character because he's so great to watch. Katrina, I just really didn't have a problem as people had with her. I mean, yeah, she wore on me, but not as much like enough for me to complain, you know, because I think people just wanted her out of the way. And I just think it's the whole wife syndrome, the way they write wives on TV, to where, you know, they just don't make them interesting characters or they make them annoying or naggy. And so I think that had more to do with the people's dislike of a character, like in Breaking Bad or any other show that has a wife character, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's cool. I do agree with you about Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome, whose name I forget. He's... I think maybe like at the beginning they wanted Orlando Jones to perhaps be that for her because it seems like maybe he could have been the love interest, but I just don't see that they have in that type of chemistry, you know, him and Abby.
I saw more of a chemistry or more of a relationship if he stayed. I think I would have seen it happen with Jenny before I would have seen it with Abby. him and Abby, it just seemed like they were
right.
They had mutual respect for each other. At you know, as law enforcement people, she had respect for him as her superior, and I think he came to this little town trying to get away from his problems at home and wasn't expecting much. And, you know, I think he was just kind of not trying to get attached to anyone, not trying to be friends with anyone. He came because he had a job to do and he was going to do it. You know, he was replacing this person who was killed under mysterious circumstances, and he was just coming to do a job and go home.
Right.
And I think when he got pulled into the supernatural stuff, and he had to rely on somebody, and here it is, this unlikely, you know, the partner of the guy who you're replacing, and this weird, out of place British guy that you're still trying to figure out why is he here. And then once you kind of get it together, I just think it just developed more of a friendship for him.
Yeah.
Because these are people who he could go to and say, hey, okay, my daughter was just possessed by a demon and she just killed half my men. And I don't, you know, it's kind of like,
yeah.
I never saw a romantic interest with him and Abby, but with him and Jenny, yeah, I could easily see that happening.
I can't see that. I mean, maybe you saw it and I just can't see that. I wouldn't want to see it because it just, I don't know. She seems younger than both Abby and Orlando, and it just would seem weird to me.
But here's the thing, because I'm still trying to figure out if she had a romantic interest in Corbin or not. Because if you look at the way, you know, of course.
Gross. Because they were kids. He was like the father.
Right. But I mean, hey, how often does that happen with people who have daddy issues? I mean, you know that their father walked out on them, left.
Okay.
We just found out, you know, we just found out.
That's not this story.
I'm just saying.
That's not this story. We're not going to go there. Because if they do, I'm going to be really uncomfortable.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you go back and look at any episode where they reference Corbin, where they show pictures and all that stuff, look at the way Jenny looks when she's thinking about him or when she's talking about him. All the pictures in Corbin's house, there were a lot of pictures of him and Jenny together. If you really paid attention to it, it's kind of like, oh, wait a minute, something more than just her.
Well, I'm not going to think that far ahead because I don't really like it. It hurts my brain, Hanako, and we're just going to stop talking about it because now I'm picturing the way she looked at him longingly in the photo when she was talking to his son.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh my God, you're gross, Hanako.
But I'm just saying, I'm seeing the things that they're putting out there. They're putting out those breadcrumbs, and I have a feeling that's going to come back to bite
her in the butt. I don't want that. That's something I'd write an angry email about, but not really. I'll just complain on the podcast about it.
Oh, don't do that.
I don't want that. So instead of Holly, do you think we're going to be seeing the son a lot more? Like he's going to be a character?
I think he is supposed to be a season regular this year. I can't remember. So I'm sure it is. Holly is probably still just going to be in and out if he comes back. So we'll see. But I think little Corbin, why can I think of this? Joe Corbin. I think he's going to be around, and I think eventually he is going to get into another situation that he can't handle, and then they're going to have to bring him in.
Yeah.
They're going to have to bring him. Because, I mean, ignorance is not bliss when it comes to dealing with the supernatural. It's not.
Lord, hell no.
So they're going to have to bring him in.
So when you talked about you saw online that the Horseman wasn't going to be part of this season, I have to ask, what else could the Horseman have done at this point? Like, what would be the Horseman's role? I mean, I think they have milked the Horseman.
I agree. I mean, because his whole tie to Ichabod was Katrina, and now that Katrina's gone, he really doesn't have a reason to be there. But it's just kind of weird, because if you've grown up with any version of this story of Ichabod Crane and Sleepy Hollow and the Headless Horseman, they're all kind of conjoined.
Yeah.
So to say, oh, we're taking the Headless Horseman out of Sleepy Hollow, it's kind of
like listening to the story of Adam and Eve in paradise and I mean Eden and not having like an apple and a snake.
Right. So yeah. I'm kind of like, how do you tell?
Well, I mean, at some point after you get through with the apple and the snake story, maybe you got to have a prequel to see like what's before the apple and the snake or what's after it, which is like the whole of the Bible, or like, you know, sometimes you have to move beyond that.
Yeah.
Mythology, and I think that's what they're trying to do, but I mean, I'm not bored yet. I mean, because I think I agree with you that chemistry, even though I didn't get a chance to witness it firsthand, it's obvious there, and they're a joy to watch. Ichabod Crane and that boyfriend scene, that was almost my second favorite scene next to the Yolanda scene. You know?
Oh my gosh,
so,
yes.
That, because he just... There was some definite... pissing on territory going on.
Yes,
there.
Yes. Yeah. There was some measuring going on there.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to see, and it'll be very interesting to see how that develops and what that'll mean for Abby. Abby is about to have a very uncomfortable life right now. She is about to be very uncomfortable. This is so funny. But okay, let's talk about the other thing. Let's talk about Ichabod Crane, the housekeeper. Can he come clean my house, please?
Child. Yes.
I mean, it's so funny because you see him trying to acclimate to the modern world, but at the same time, it's just his indignant speech when they walked into the restaurant that was the colonial restaurant.
That was brilliant.
You know, I love one of the things I love about the show is how I like how he portrays Ichabod Crane, and just it's like he's so serious, but at the same time he's so comical. There's not too many people who can do that.
Yeah.
And then he has to take all of this stuff and he has to talk about things from the 1700s and 1800s, which, let's be honest, half the people in the world these days don't even know what happened 10 years ago, much less what happened 200 years ago. So he has to take this history and he has to make it interesting and he has to deliver it in a way to make people interested. And it's just so fun. And it's like all the time I'm looking at him on stage talking at Dragon Con, I'm imagining him with the long hair and with the coat and with the boots. And it was just a funny thing to see because he was very clearly Tom Meissen. And then every once in a while he would tell an anecdote or he would say something and he would switch very quickly into Crane. And it was just so fun to watch that whole panel. I could have sat there all day and watched that panel. It was magnificent. I loved it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was so fun.
That was great. Okay. Well, let's see. So that we're two episodes in, we have Pandora. I was not that thrilled about Pandora in the Box, mainly because like I felt like we had this just a year ago or so on Doctor Who. And I mean, we didn't have like the Pandora herself, but we had the Pandorica, and I mean, we've seen the Pandora's Box like on Outer Limits and just other places. So I just want to know how they're going to make this interesting to me and not bore me, because they have a really good actress. She's really good. I always like her. And I don't think they're going to ruin it. I don't think that they're going to bore me because it's just always really good. I they're changing a lot really fast, and they're changing the time slot, and I don't know what that means. So I don't know.
It just means that we have to watch and we have to make sure that they don't, you know, it's just, I don't know, one of those things with Fox. Fox always, they change things and they screw stuff up. And I just, that's the only concern I have for this show, is that it's on Fox, because hey, anybody who's a Firefly fan will tell you, you know, but you know, it's just
Firefly, kind of like, Terminator, Almost Human.
Yes. Dark Angel. I mean,
well, I didn't care about that one.
We'll see. I liked Dark Angel. And just at the time when they canceled it, it was getting really, really good. So it's kind of like, but the same way with Sarah Connor Chronicles. It's like you get right to the good part, and I think Derek got shot or he almost died, and then it's like, oh, it's canceled. It's not coming back. And I'm like, you can't leave us on a cliffhanger like this. What am I going to do with my life?
You know what I think it is? I think it's people like Fox News running, like, we're going to get these progressives to watch our shows, and then we're going to yank it up from them. Damn Democrats. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea why they do it. That's a good conspiracy theory as any. But no. I think they're doing a great job. I really enjoyed the first two. I don't know what's going to come. I can't see what's coming. So I'm pretty glad about that.
Yeah, it's not predictable.
Yeah.
So. That's one thing. We can't say, oh, yeah, this is going to happen, because at this point, I have no clue what the hell is going on, what's going to happen, but I'm going to roll with it. Yeah. I want to see what's going to happen. So.
Well, you want to wrap this one up?
We can wrap this one up, yes.
Okay, folks. That was our Sleepy Hollow episode. You can give us a call, folks, at 773-336-2686. Go to our website, leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. You can reach us at scifipartyline on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. I messed it up. Woo! Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time.